The scripture reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness.
Thank you, William, and thank you, choir. That song sounds familiar because I think we've sung it a time or two at cage gatherings, and it's a wonderful, wonderful piece. So thank you, Neil. Thank you, choir. In case you hadn't noticed, we do have a new face in the choir. I don't want to put her on the spot, but her name is Pat, and she's wearing a hat. So wave to each other, okay? There you go. All right. It's good to have you with us, Pat. So, molting or not molting? I wonder what that is about. Well, molting is the same as shedding, is the same as sloughing off, is the same as ectasis, that's the fancy word for it, and they all mean roughly the same thing. When an animal casts off its outer layer or covering, and you know that it happens. It happens in amphibians, two amphibians, salamanders and frogs shed their skin. More famously, snakes shed their skin, and lizards do as well. In fact, lizards actually eat theirs for nourishment. That's a happy thought this morning. And of course, arthropods, like cicadas, leave behind their hard exoskeleton, and you've seen those hard exoskeletons on trees, especially late summer into the fall. You've seen those little exoskeletons just hanging there. The cicadas are gone, but they have shed, they have sloughed off, they have molted. And did you know that humans do that as well? Yes, it's called desquamation. I had to look that up. Desquamation. That's when we slough off dead skin cells in order for the new to emerge and for us to grow. It sounds maybe like we didn't want to call ourselves molters, so we called ourselves desquaminators. There you have it. And that's the sermon for today. Well, I think molting is actually a nice metaphor for our lives, because the path to health and growth of the soul is to shed what is dead or dying. So I'm not speaking here literally, but symbolically. If we are made in the image of God, then God resides within us. The divine light is within us, and that divine light is always trying to get out, to express itself. But in order for that to happen, the dead has to be sloughed off. But the divine within us is always trying to emerge, always trying to come out, always trying to reveal itself, but we have to get the old out of the way. If we retain our shells, the shells of the soul, we are simply harboring what is already dead. And some of the things that we harbor are things like our dead thinking and opinions, our dead regrets, our dead feelings, our dead experiences, our dead relationships, our dead ways of relating to others and the world. These things are dying or dead within us, and in order for us to grow, they have to be molted. The Apostle Paul uses a different metaphor, doesn't talk about molting, talks about dressing and undressing. That's the metaphor that Paul used in the text that William read just a moment ago. It says, you were taught to put off, the word there is to disrobe, your former way of life, your old self, and reclothe yourselves or put on the new self, which is created to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there it is. That's the divine within us trying to break out if only we unrobe, if we disrobe the old patterns of living. Actually, many scholars believe that the language that we have here in that text of putting off and putting on reflects the actual baptismal service in the early emerging church, where a person, a candidate, a catechumen for baptism would come, disrobe, and then would enter the water, and then would be re-robed, put on, with a white robe after baptism. And that's probably what's going on here. So whether it's shedding dead skin or old clothing, the point is the same. In order for the new to emerge, the old has to be cast off. And that is the problem. We hang on to our old skin. We hang on to our old clothing, speaking metaphorically, of course. And the question, of course, is why and how do you get over that? Well, there's an interesting story that comes out of the Melanesian culture of the New Hebrides, an ancient fable that goes something like this. Once upon a time, humans never died. They lived forever because they regularly cast off their skins. That was the belief. They kept their youth renewed by shedding, by molting. One day, an elderly woman threw her skin into the water. It floated down a little ways and snagged on a branch. Thinking nothing of it, she went home. But because she was now younger, her daughter did not recognize her. And feeling sorry about that, she went back to the river, found the old skin, put it back on, and from thenceforward, humans now die. Interesting. Don't understand that literally, but I certainly understand that metaphorically, that we tend to maintain, and this is the moral of the story, we tend to maintain our old skins, we tend to keep them and not discard them because we want to or need to please other people, like the woman wanting to please her daughter in this particular myth from the New Hebrides. And that brings inner death. We hold on to the old, the dead things in our lives, because the old skin is how people have come to know us. And to change would be discomforting to them and to us. So it's just easier to hang on to that which is dead. Those opinions that we have, those ideas that we have, those relationships that we have, we hang on to some of these things that need to be shed precisely because we have come to be known in those old skins. And we don't want to expose our real thoughts and feelings. That is where the rub is. And that's why it is so hard for us to do the sloughing off, this dismantling of the old robe and putting on the new, because it is difficult to trust ourselves to be authentic. We don't trust ourselves to be authentic, so we don't want to reveal ourselves to others. It does come down to that. But in order for us to realize growth, we have to allow that inner being to come out, that is God within us. We need to allow that to escape. We need to allow that to be expressed to others so that we are not living behind a facade. Now, I've seen just how hard it is in my pastoral experience and in my personal experience. I've seen how hard it is to have that happen, to expose oneself, which is not literally, but which is difficult when it comes to the soul. I've seen just how hard it is and how brave some people have to be authentic. I've seen men and women come out of the safety of their closets, if you will, as we used to call them, in order to reveal a sexual identity that is no longer popular or never has been popular in our country. I've seen people take the courage and have the courage to do that. I've seen people surrender safe but unhealthy relationships in order to live more authentically. And I've seen people leave their safe but unfulfilling jobs in order to pursue a vision that reflects more their authentic self, even though that new job might pay far less. Sometimes we break out from our own courage. Other times we have to be caught. Yes, sometimes we're not brave enough to take that first step. Sometimes we have to be caught in order to expose our inner selves. And that's the way it was for me when I came out some years ago in the congregation, actually in the religious fellowship I was a part of at the time, to express my real thinking about God, my theology, which had grown to be much more progressive. I did not want to reveal that because my job at the time depended on it. But I was caught by a student who taped one of my lectures in which I shared some of my thoughts about what I really believed about the books of the Bible, about God, about Jesus. And so I was caught and had to come out, so to speak. But here's the thing. However you reveal yourself to others, what you gain is truth-telling. And there is an amazing power in being able to express your authentic self, as I have to you, in my thinking and thoughts. There is a wonderful power that comes with the ability to be oneself. One doesn't have to hide. One doesn't have to remember the lies one told before to other people. One just comes out and acts out of himself. This is what we say, that person looks like he or she is comfortable in their own skin. That's what I'm talking about. That's authenticity. That's not living behind a facade of the old skin or the old clothing. And that's what we need to do. The soul is released to new adventures in growing and in learning, because God is now in control. You have allowed that spirit to be released. In the movie Pontiac Moon, and by the way, do you enjoy that section in our newsletters now that Bob Long is providing for you? Isn't that great? Thank you, Bob. For those movie reviews, it's great. If you haven't read one of our newsletters lately, there is that new column, and he does a great job. I don't think you've covered this one yet, but Pontiac Moon is one deserving of seeing. I think it was made back in the 80s. Ted Danson stars in it, and he takes off in his 1949 Pontiac. He calls it his Pontiac Chief. And what he's doing is, this is the year 1969, what he's doing is he's trying to reach the national park in Idaho called Spires of the Moon, actually Craters of the Moon. And he wants to get there exactly at the same moment that Apollo was at 11 landing on the moon, exact moment that the first man stepped on the moon. And, moreover, he wants to, and he's planned his trip accordingly, he wants to get there with the same amount of miles on his odometer. That is the distance between the Earth and the Moon, which is about 250,000 miles, somewhere around there. And he makes it. But people don't understand why he's on this quest. He takes his young child with him because he wants to expose his child to adventure. And he has to explain himself. And what he says, it's the one quote I remember from the movie, "The universe is expanding, so must I." Isn't that great? The universe is expanding, so must I. So what do we need to slough off? What old garments must we shed to live into the adventure of authenticity? What must we leave behind to allow the divine light within us to come out and shine? I can't answer that for any of you. I can only answer it for myself. The question each of us must answer in his or her own way. I wanted to do something different to close out my sermon today, and it is in your bulletins. It is an Easter hymn, actually, that is written to the tune of a Christmas song. You will recognize the tune. I'm going to ask, excuse me, I'm going to ask Neil to play through it once. You will recognize it. It is a French tune at Christmas. The words are written for Easter, which is yet another symbol of dying to the old and living fresh. The resurrection, as you know, is a metaphor as well for casting off what is old and dead and living to the new that God is waiting to uncover in your lives. So I'm going to ask, you can remain seated, I'm going to ask Neil to play through it once, and then we'll sing and see if it doesn't match the desires of your heart. And let us repeat the affirmation of faith in unison that is provided in the bulletin. This is, obviously you'll recognize it from St. Francis, his famous prayer, but it has been augmented and updated by William Wallace. Let's read this together. O loving Christ, may I become an instrument of your peace. Grant that I may learn to strive, but not compete, to be empowered without seeking to oppress, to stand tall without looking down on others, to be aware of my inner wisdom without attempting to inflict it on anyone else. For it is in letting go that we find peace, in abandoning arrogance that we find truth, and in taking risks that we find love.